facts of everything that we believe. And so, Father, I thank you for the time to remember that. And dear Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would bless the sermon now and fill me with your power as I preach to God. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now I want to talk to you about a subject in the Bible that's mentioned several times in the Bible. This word is used many times, and I think it's a word that a lot of people maybe don't understand, and so I want to preach a subject on this word, confirmation. Confirmation. Now, what does the word confirmation mean? Now, turn to 1 Corinthians 1. Keep your finger in Acts 14 because we will be coming back there. But go a few books toward the end of your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And let's begin reading in verse number 4. The Bible reads, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. The word utterance there, talking about preaching the gospel, soul winning, if you study the context and learn the word utterance. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now what does it mean to be confirmed or confirmation? Well, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1:8 that God will confirm you unto the end. It reminds me of the verse, famous verse, Philippians 1:6, that he with, knowing this, that he with that which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, confirmation, let me read a few verses for you. You don't have to turn there. Isaiah 35:3, the Bible says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. So we see here the word confirm used with strengthen as a synonym. The Bible says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. So to confirm means to strengthen. Notice the word firm. Something that's firm is something that's tough or rigid. And so the Bible talks about being confirmed. It talks about being strengthened. Daniel 11:1, the Bible says, also I in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Do you see the word association there? Confirmation means strengthening. Now look back where we were in Acts chapter 14, the part that we read, and we'll see confirmation being practiced on and on in the book of Acts. What do I mean by that? Well, the Bible says in verse number 21 we'll begin reading, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. You see, they went back to three places where they'd already been soul winning, they'd already won people to Christ, they'd already preached the gospel, there were already churches even established there, and it says in verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So what does it mean when they went back and confirmed? Well, you see, to them, it wasn't just enough to win people to Christ. It wasn't just enough to preach the gospel, bow their head, and see somebody trust Christ their Savior. They had another purpose in their life. They had another mission in their life. They had another great calling in their life, which was to not only win people to Christ, but to confirm those that they'd won to Christ, to confirm believers, to confirm people that other people had won to Christ, to strengthen them and exhort them to continue in the faith and to understand that they must, through much tribulation, you know, live the Christian life. And so we see here that not only was soul winning a priority, but also confirmation was a priority. We'll talk a little more about that, but flip over, if you would, to the next chapter. We'll see it again in Acts 15. The Bible says in Acts 15, verse 32, we'll see this word again, and Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. Look down, if you would, at verse number 35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, watch this, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. Look down, if you would, at verse number 40. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Watch verse 41. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, I want to talk about this tonight because there's a lot of misunderstanding about this, and I have a very distinct philosophy about this, and I believe that my philosophy comes from the Word of God, or else I wouldn't have that philosophy. But I have a very distinct belief and a very strong conviction about what it means to confirm, what confirmation is, what it means to confirm the brethren, to confirm those that are believers. Now, in our day, there's something that's very popular and very common, and it's something that people of our stripe and the soul winners, if you will, you know, well, I mean, what are we if we're not soul winners at Faith Forward Baptist Church? This church is zealous about going. I mean, we were out this afternoon for hours, you know, what, 2-3 hours or so? We were out last night for hours. Okay, we are about soul winning. This week, I want to do extra soul. My job's a little slow this week. I plan to go out soul winning throughout the week. Extra soul winning. We love to go out and win people to Christ. We love to go out as Jesus did and to seek and to save the lost. That's why we're here. We are all about winning people to Christ. Now, many people will accuse us, oh yeah, well you win people to Christ, but you don't disciple them. Now, I don't really like that word, and let me tell you why I don't like that word. You say, good night, why don't you like the word disciple people? Well, the reason I don't like it is because, you know, the NIV, that's a word that comes out of the NIV. Now, we know that Jesus had disciples. Okay, disciples are those that are being taught. Okay, the Bible says the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Okay, so a disciple goes with a master. Jesus was the master. He had 12 disciples. And he had many other disciples that he was teaching and that were following him. Now, the Bible in Matthew 28, and I'm just explaining this to you. I'm not saying that anybody who uses the word disciple is bad or that's a horrible word to use. I'm just saying I don't use it, and here's why. Because in Matthew 28:19, the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, the NIV and the modern versions, they take out that, go ye therefore and teach all nations, you know, which is referring to teaching them the gospel. Because you teach them, then you baptize them, and then you teach them everything else. Obviously, the teaching there is teaching them the plan of salvation, teaching them the gospel. Well, all modern Bibles, they go against everything, and they just change it to, go ye therefore and make disciples. Go make disciples. Okay, so I'm sorry. You say, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with it is it came out of the NIV. Okay, and so that means the devil put it there. And so I'm not going to go around making disciples. I'm going to go around teaching people the gospel because that's what the Bible says. Okay, and I've heard people say, you say, I still don't get it. I still don't understand. Well, I've sat in a denominational Baptist church growing up as a teenager. I was 15 years old, and they said, there's nowhere in the Bible that says to preach the gospel to everybody. That's what they told me in the class. And I was flipping through my Bible. I was like, I know it does. You know, but unfortunately, I was a little bit ignorant of my Bible, okay? And so I didn't know the verse Mark 16:15, where it says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So I was, you know, but I didn't know that. I was a teenager and I wasn't reading my Bible as much as I should have. And so I was flipping around, you know, I know it. What are you? I was mad, you know, because they're lying. And I'm searching, I couldn't find it. But I knew that verse, but I couldn't find it. So I found Matthew 28:19, and I said, the Bible says, you know, this is the one I had, you know, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And they said, no, it says make disciples. And they had their NIV, they said, it says make disciples. So really our job is just to get a few people and train them and teach them to be like us, not just to give the gospel to everybody. Now, I don't believe that. I believe we're to give the gospel to everybody. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's first. Teach all nations. Teach them what? Teach them that they're a sinner. Teach them that Jesus loves them. Teach them that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. Teach them that if they call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on Him, they will have eternal life. That's what we ought to be teaching them. That's the first and foremost thing you teach them. Then after you teach them that, you baptize them. And then after you baptize them, you teach them everything else. But discipleship is something that we're criticized for not doing, you know. Fundamental Baptists don't disciple anybody. They just go out and win people to the Lord and they're done with it. Well, look, here's what I've often told people. I said, you know what? Our discipleship program is Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Because people always ask, what do you do for discipleship? What's your discipleship program? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now, I don't personally, and this is kind of my disclaimer before I get into the sermon of what I mean by confirmation. I want to say this. I don't go around to every person who I've won to the Lord, who doesn't come to church, who isn't interested in coming to church, and just keep going back to their house over and over again. Now let me tell you why. Because I work a full-time job. You know, I install fire alarms, okay? And I do that about 50, 60 hours a week, okay? I spend a lot of time out soul winning, winning people to Christ. I spend a lot of time, a lot of time memorizing the Bible and studying the Bible, okay? I'm not going to waste my time with people who don't want to come to church. Why would I go to their house and have a discipleship program with them where I go to their house and teach them the Bible one-on-one when I'm teaching the Bible right now? And I would talk the Bible this morning. And I'm going to teach John chapter 2 on Wednesday night. Why not have them come to church and be taught with everyone else? That makes a lot more sense than to go around and make house calls. I don't make house calls. Okay, I'm not a door-to-door Bible teacher. I'm not a Jehovah's false witness. I don't go and bring church to you. Oh, you don't want to come to church? Let me bring church to you. No, come to church. Now, part of the reason why we don't do that is just because, number one, it's a waste of time. People who don't come to church the first time and the second time you invite them, you know, a lot of times they're not going to come the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth time. And so I don't go around and do it. I'm just being honest with you. But, and you know, that people that have been soul winning with me, whenever we win somebody to Christ, we try and get them to come to church. We always give them a Bible. If they don't have a King, we ask them, where's your Bible? Show me your Bible. And we make sure it's a King James. Otherwise, we give them a Bible. How many Bibles did we give out today? Couple last night? What, you know, we're giving out Bibles to people that we win to the Lord. We show them, read here, come to church, do this, get baptized. We try to teach them everything that we can. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to go chasing after somebody who won't come to the house of God. I'm not going to do it. Church is where it's at. Church is what needs to be lifted up. Church is the discipleship program. Church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night is how you are going to be confirmed and strengthened in the faith. The Bible says in verse 41 of chapter 15, and that's why I like the word confirmation better than the word discipleship, because it's a Bible word. The Bible says in Acts 15:41, he went through Syria and Cilicia confirming the churches. Okay, the Bible says in Acts 15:36, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do. You know, they went around and they checked on the churches, the Bible says. They preached to the churches. They ordained elders in the churches. But what are we talking about confirmation? Why am I preaching on confirmation tonight? You ought to have in your life a goal and a mission to not just win people to Christ, but to take people that have already been saved, that you've won to the Lord, or that others have won to the Lord, and to confirm them. What do I mean by confirming them? Well, has there ever been anybody that you've run into that's already saved, but they're not a soul winner? Good, of course. Have you ever run into people who they're saved, but they don't read the Bible? You know, maybe they've read it a little bit here and there, but I mean, they don't know anything of sitting down and reading several chapters of the Bible or reading through the Bible twice a year or whatever. They, you know, once a year, whatever. Your job is not just to get people saved. Your job is to confirm people. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is that confirmation is something that's best done through the local church. Look, if you would, at John chapter 1. I'll tell you what I'm talking about here. John chapter number 1. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read a verse for you. While you're turning to John chapter 1, I'm going to read you Daniel chapter 12. Of course, the Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Let me read for you Daniel 12, verses 2 and 3. The Bible says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Verse 3 of Daniel 12. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Malachi chapter 2. You don't have to turn there. I'll read you this scripture as well. Malachi chapter 2. This is speaking of Levi. The Bible says, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and watch this, and did turn many away from iniquity. That's why God chose him, okay? So we see, where did I have you turn? John chapter 1. Okay, John chapter 1, verse 40. The Bible says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Look down, if you would, at verse number 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Now, what do you notice about these two men and their stories that they tell? Do you notice the excitement? Do you notice how they're making it sound exciting to someone else? Hey, we found him of whom Moses in the law and of the prophets spake, Jesus, you know, of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. They're getting excited. They're telling them how great it is. They're saying, come with us to church. Because that's what this became, the first church, Jesus and his disciples. Come with us to church. Come learn the Bible. Come learn about Jesus. You know, if you're not saved, get saved and get baptized and learn how to go soul winning with me. Let me teach you soul winning. You see, our job as Christians is not just to preach the gospel. And you know that we're all about preaching the gospel. You know that we're all about getting people saved. But our job is a job of confirmation. If you find somebody that's saved, but they're not a soul winner, why don't you take it upon yourself to confirm them, to build them up, and to teach them to be a soul winner? If you find somebody that's saved, but they don't go to church, why don't you get them in Faith Forward Baptist Church? Why don't you bring them to church? Why don't you make it sound exciting to them and say, come to a church where the Bible's preached, where souls are saved, where we go out and preach the gospel, just like in the book of Acts. Come to a church where you'll learn the Bible Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and make it exciting to them. Get them in church. Confirm them. You know, if you win somebody to the Lord, that's great. That's exciting. That's a reward in heaven. But can you imagine if you not only win people to Christ, but what happens if you just take one person who's already saved, and what if you could teach them to live for God? What if you could take them and confirm them and teach them to win souls like you win souls? Teach them to live a clean life like you live a clean life. And so you ought to be living a clean life, you know, and you ought to be winning souls yourself in order to confirm someone else. Why don't you take someone and teach them how to win souls, teach them to live right, teach them to read and study and memorize the Bible like you do. Did you know that that person could maybe win 1,000 people to the Lord in their lifetime? You say, 1,000 people, that's crazy. Well, what if they just won one person to the Lord per week for 20 years? That's more than 1,000 people. Or what if they won one person to the Lord every other week for 40 years? That's over 1,000 people. You see, if you could train a soul winner, if you could confirm somebody who's already saved, you say, well, I didn't win the Lord. Yeah, but you're the one who confirmed them. You know, God's going to bless you and you're going to get rewards in heaven for all the souls. And think about the souls that be saved. If you could take people that are already saved and confirm them. If you win somebody to the Lord, don't let it stop there. Turn to Matthew 28, if you would. Matthew chapter 28. You're in John, just back a few books. Look at Matthew 28 and look at verse number 19 where I was just quoting from. See, don't just let it, that person that you won to the Lord at work, don't let it stop there. Confirm them. Paul said, I'm not just in the business of getting people saved. I'm in the business of confirming those that are saved. Now, if you have somebody at work that you've won to the Lord, why don't you take it upon yourself to confirm them? Pray for them. Try to reach them with not just the gospel, but also with the rest. Look if you would at verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we see here, you haven't really obeyed the Great Commission of Jesus until you win people to Christ and get them baptized and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. As a church, we're only obeying the Great Commission. We're only being obedient to God and being successful as a church when we do the whole cycle of not only winning people to the Lord, not only baptizing converts, but teaching them to observe all things. Preaching the entire Bible to them. Teaching them to win souls. Teaching them to do what we do. To preach what we preach. To live a clean life. To be godly and righteous and pure like we're pure. That's what the Bible says. You see, confirmation should be a part of your lifestyle. Not just soul winning, but confirmation. You pass up the opportunity to see hundreds of souls saved when you don't confirm somebody. Confirming somebody could lead to 100 people being saved. You ought to take the people that you win to the Lord at work and talk to them about being baptized. You ought to be after them to come to church. You say, how am I going to do it? Should I tell them they're not right with God? They don't come. You don't come to church, you're not right with God. You know, you could try to make it exciting instead, like in John 1, where they said, hey, come and see for yourself. You know, Nathanael began to question and say, I don't think Jesus is all he's cracked up to be. I don't think this church that you're going to is really all that it's cracked up to be. What did he say? Well, why don't you come and see? Come check it out for yourself. And boy, when he came, was he impressed. Boy, when he came, was he excited. When he came, he stayed with Jesus. He abode with him. He followed him. Why? Because Philip talked him into it. Philip wanted to confirm his own brother and get him in church and get him living for God. Look, if you would, at Psalm 126. Right in the middle of your Bibles, the book of Psalms. Psalm 126. We'll read verse 5. Psalm 126. Psalm 126, verse number 5. The Bible reads in Psalm 126, 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Doubtless. I mean, isn't that a pretty strong word? Doubtless. I mean, if you go forth weeping, if you have a heart that beats inside of you a love for people, a love for lost souls, a burning desire to see people saved. If you have that love in your heart that'll put a tear in your eye, that'll say, oh God, help me to win somebody to Christ. And if you go forth weeping, bearing the precious seed, the seed of the Word of God, the Bible says, the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you're bearing the precious seed with a tear in the eye, the Holy Spirit upon you, you will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. You see, the sheaf is when you harvest wheat. Once you've harvested the wheat, you know, of course, the seed's planted, the plant grows up, you harvest the wheat. Well, then a sheaf is when you bundle them together. Okay? And then you got that sheaf and you bring it with you. You bring it back to, you know, I mean, can you imagine harvesting a bunch of wheat and then just leaving it out in the field? You know, that's not ideal. You know, there are going to be pieces that get left behind, but ideally you want to bundle it up and take it back and do something with it. That's the whole point. And so what God is teaching is not bringing the seeds, bring all your seeds. You know, bring the seeds to church. No, bring the sheaves. And so when we bring the sheaves is when we go out and we win somebody to Christ. The Bible refers to winning people to the Lord as reaping. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The Bible says one sows, another waters, another reaps, but God giveth the increase. And so when you reap that lost soul and they get saved, the goal is to then bind them up and bring them to church, you know? Take them and bring them with you and bring them to the house of God with you. And he says, if you go forth weeping, if you put in the hours bearing the precious seed, working out in the field, so to speak, soul winning, knocking the doors, on the job, friends, family, loved ones, coworkers, whoever the case may be, he says, you'll doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. Don't go out and just win somebody to the Lord and then not bring them with you. Now, some people you're not going to bring. You know, you try. I try to bring everybody that I win to the Lord. Some people are just not going to come. They're still saved. Okay? You don't have to come to church to be saved. And so just because they never come to church doesn't mean they're not saved. And they may go to some other liberal church. You know, they may go to some other church that their friends go to or whatever. But you ought to try as hard as you can that when you win somebody to the Lord to get them to come to church with you. Because that's the only way they're going to get baptized and learn to observe all things whatsoever Jesus has commanded us. And so you ought to be in the confirmation business. I want this word to become a part of your vocabulary in your mind. This is a Bible word where you say, I want to be like Paul. I want to be like Barnabas. I want to be like Saul. I don't want to just win people to Christ. But you know what? I want to take somebody and teach them and confirm them and make him a soul winner, and to teach him to follow Jesus Christ. There are people in this church that were already saved long ago. You were saved, what, 10 years ago? But see, he'd never been confirmed. Okay, he was being tossed to and fro. He didn't have a church that he went to. He wasn't a soul winner. Never even been baptized. And you know, that was 10 years ago or so that he got saved. Now, I took Brother Dave and I confirmed him. Okay, I took him out. I taught him how to win souls. Now look, Brother Dave is seeing people saved constantly. Okay? Same thing with other people in this church. For example, you know, Amanda. When did you get saved? 20 years ago or something? I don't know. How long ago did you get saved? What, you're not saved? Not 17, yeah, 17 years ago. Okay? But there wasn't any kind of a confirmation. She wasn't very firm in what she believed. Do you understand what confirmation means? See, if you don't confirm somebody, they're not very firm. They don't know which church to go to. They don't really know what they believe. I mean, they know what they believe about the gospel. They know it's by faith. But they may not know everything else. Of course they don't. You know, they haven't been taught. They're not very firm. They're not steadfast and unmovable. It's going to be pretty easy to shake them. But what you ought to do is be in the confirmation business. Because if you could take somebody like one of these two, or many others that are in this room, if you could take somebody like that, and if you can train them to be a soul winner, teach them to live for God, teach them what's right, you've accomplished just as much as winning souls. Because you're making somebody a soul winner. And they're winning all kinds of souls. And you know, there's only so many people I can win to Christ, personally, one person. But the purpose of this church is to train as many people as we can. Not that Pastor Anderson is some kind of a one-man show. I'm the soul winner. Just bring your unsaved people to church and I'll get them saved because I know how to do it. No, the goal is that you become a soul winner. You become a fisher of men. And you can win people to Christ. And you know what? The only way that this church is really going to grow where it needs to grow is if many of us are laboring together. You know, recently we had like 18 people out soul winning in that 1 week. Okay, that's what's going to make this church grow. That's what's going to make a lot more people get saved. I mean, we're going to have a lot more people saved this year than we had last year. Why? Because last year, for a great part of the year, I was one of the only people going out soul winning. Toward the end of the year, many more people started going. We had a few people going throughout the year. But I'm going to tell you something. This year has been a lot different than last year because we've had so many more people out soul winning for so many more hours. That's why we're seeing greater success. And next year, we'll have even more people out soul winning, putting even more time out there. And you know, it's going to grow when it's not one person, but when we're all with one mind, in one accord, we're all going out and preaching the gospel to every creature. Think about this in your life. Put this in your spiritual vocabulary. Who are you going to confirm this week? Who are you going to strengthen in their faith this week? Somebody that you know who's saved, who maybe they don't come to this church. They need to be confirmed and brought to this church, and they can learn what they need to learn in this church. But not only that, there are people in this church that maybe you're friends with. Okay, maybe they're not here tonight. Maybe they come on Sunday mornings or they come different services sporadically and you're kind of their friend. Right? I mean, let's face it. You know, as the church grows, we're all one, you know, body here and we're all one church here. But, you know, there are people that are friends maybe because they live in the same area or maybe the person that you brought to church has a special connection with you or maybe the person that you won to the Lord. Now, my goal, you know, as a pastor, I would love to just go and visit every single person who comes. You know, my schedule doesn't always permit me to do that. But I would love to just visit every member of our church on a regular... I wish I could just come over to your house every week, every person in this church. I'm serious. I would love that. I'm not even kidding. I'd love to just show up at your house every week and just spend time with you and talk to you. I mean that. You know, because I love it. You know, I love everybody in this church, and I'd love to spend time with them, talk to them. You know, I can't always do that. You know, that's why I look forward to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We all get to see each other. But, you know, you ought to take it upon yourself. Maybe there's some people in this church who are maybe a new believer, or maybe it's somebody that you won to the Lord, or maybe it's just a new believer. You know, or maybe it's a friend of yours or somebody who maybe lives in your area or something. You know, you ought to take it upon yourself to befriend them. Now, I'm not saying, not preach to them and not try to straighten them out. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just loving somebody and being their friend and encouraging them in a positive way. I'm not talking about a negative way, tell them what they're doing wrong, straighten them out. Okay. I'm saying, why don't you just pick people in this church that come and just love them and strengthen them and help them to grow, help them be faithful. You know, if you just said to somebody, hey, you know, I'm excited about, you know, seeing you on Wednesday. Are you going to be there on Wednesday? Or hey, you know, I really missed you on Wednesday. And something like that. You know, just some kind of a sign that you care. And I hope you really do care. And if you don't care, then don't say it. But, you know, personally, I'm sad when people that normally come don't come. Because I didn't get to see them. And I'm sure you feel the same way. When people don't come that are usually always here, and then you don't see them, you're like, man, you know, where's so-and-so? And you wish they were there. You know, you want to see them. Encourage people. You know, and many people in this church are very good about this. Many people in this church, you know, give rides to people, bring them to church. You know, that's probably a lot of what keeps them coming in some ways. Because you're giving them a ride, because you're spending time with them, because you're taking an interest in them, because you love them, and you care about them. You know, you have to love people. You have to love the people that come to this church and care about each person. It's not just another number, another body. Let's get as many people in here as we can. Fooey on that. The goal is to take an interest in each person personally, to help them grow, and to confirm them and strengthen them and build them up and encourage them. You know, who are you encouraging in this church? Who have you spoken a word of encouragement to, or written a note of encouragement, or taken the time to strengthen somebody, or compliment somebody, encourage somebody, help somebody, give somebody something that could help them out, or that they need, or give them a ride, or tell them that you miss them, or that you want to see them on Sunday night, or on Wednesday, or on Sunday morning? Hey, take an interest in people. Love people. Confirm the brethren in the church. That's what the Bible's teaching. I wish I could be the soul winner extraordinaire that preaches the gospel to every single person in Maricopa County. It's not going to happen because I'm only one person and there's almost 4 million people in the county here. I wish I could be the Mr. Confirmation, going around confirming every person who comes to this church, every visitor, every new person, every new believer, all your friends and loved ones and everybody who comes to this church. I can't do it all. We've got to work together as a team. Confirming them, strengthening them, encouraging them, helping them. Who is it that's saved, that's not in church, that you could go confirm? Who is it that does come to this church? Maybe they come sometimes, or that you could take it upon yourself to encourage them. Or how about to pray for them by name? Call their name in prayer. And then tell them, hey, I was praying for you. You know, send them a note. Encourage them. Love people. Express your love to people. That's part of what confirmation is. And so you ought to take it upon yourself and not just think, well, Pastor Anderson's going to greet the visitors. Pastor Anderson's going to visit people. Pastor Anderson's going to get everybody in church. Pastor Anderson is not God. Okay? And Pastor Anderson's not the only Christian in this church. I'm just one of the crowd here. You know, I'm just like you. You're just like me. Why don't you take it upon yourself and say, I want to make this church grow. I want to make sure that the people who've come under, you know, our influence, that we can love them and keep them confirmed. You know, keep them continuing. You know, Paul said, I want to confirm them because I want them to continue. I want them to keep coming to church. I want them to keep on winning souls. I want them to keep on living for God. It's a shame or sad thing that if somebody could, you know, come to this church for months and months and then they disappear and, you know, nobody really cares, or nobody really thinks about it, or prays for them, or calls them, or visits them, tries to help them, encourage them. This is something that we need to do as a church. I'm not talking about going around and having Bible studies in people's homes and, you know, trying to bring church to them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some discipleship program outside the local church. I'm talking about bringing people into the fold. I'm talking about strengthening people, teaching them what they need to learn, bringing them to church, getting them excited. Are you excited about this church? Are you excited about Jesus? Are you excited about soul winning? Are you excited about the Bible? Why don't you let your excitement rub off onto somebody else? Why don't you pick somebody that you know that's saved, or get somebody saved, and then decide, you know what, I'm going to confirm them. You know, I'll use this example. I remember when Gabriel first walked into our church on a Sunday morning. I remember I walked over and I gave him the gospel, and I went through the plan of salvation with him. He got saved. And I didn't know Gabriel at all. You know, I mean, I didn't know him from Adam. I didn't know anything about him. I'd never heard anything about him, you know. I mean, I heard some bad things from some of his family. No, I hadn't heard anything about him. I had no clue what he was like. I didn't know his personality. Didn't know him at all. I sat down with him. I wanted the Lord. I gave him the gospel. He prayed and got saved. He went on his way. He went home. And you know what? I went home. And I didn't just say, oh, there's another one. Cha-ching. Another salvation. Mark it up. I thought to myself, you know what? I want Gabriel. I just remember thinking, you know, this guy just got saved. I don't know who he is. I don't know how old he is. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he's like. I just said, you know what? I want Gabriel to be a soul winner. I want Gabriel to come to this church faithfully. I want him to learn how to preach. I want him to read the Bible and study the Bible. I want him to be a godly Christian. I want him to be righteous. I want him to follow me as I follow Christ. I want him to be like other people in this church that win souls, that love God. I said, I want Gabriel to be confirmed in the faith and to not just be somebody who's saved but never comes to church, never does anything with their life. I want Gabriel to come to this church and be a soul winner and to do something for God with his life. That's what I wanted. And I prayed to God and I asked God to make it so. And I said, God, please help me to come. Help me to do what I need to do to confirm him. And you know what? I've spent time trying to confirm him. That's why he's out soul winning with us every week. This guy's addicted to soul winning. Okay? We try and tell him, like, we're done, you know? He wants to keep going. I'm not kidding. We went on the soul winning marathon Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He's like, we're still going Sunday, right? I'm like, you're nuts. We just did all this soul winning. Now look, why don't you have a vision for people? You say, oh, this guy, you know, this guy's never going to do anything for God, you know? Or, I'm not talking about him, you know, but you may look at people, and I've literally looked at people. I mean, I've looked at people that were hard people. And I mean, I'm thinking of a certain guy right now. This guy had the filthiest mouth. I mean, everything out of this guy's mouth was just bad. I mean, it was cursing, it was dirty stuff. I mean, it was bad. And I remember, I won this guy to the Lord, and I remember thinking to myself, you know, this guy, I'm glad he's saved. Praise God that he's saved, but I said to myself, this guy's never going to be like us. I'm just being honest with you. See, that was my lack of faith and my lack of vision. I said, you know, praise the Lord that this guy's saved, but he's never going to be a soul. This guy's never going to go soul winning. There's no way this guy's ever going to live a Christian life, you know. And you know what? Years later, I mean, he is a soul winner. He does live a Christian life. I mean, he's a very righteous man. I'll tell you right now. He's a very godly Christian. See, you don't know what God can do if you would take the time to try to confirm somebody and try to teach somebody and try to train somebody and try to help somebody grow in their Christian life. Every person that you win to the Lord, I mean, I'm just sharing with you my heart a little bit, okay? What's going on in my mind and what's going on in my heart, like I told you what I was thinking about Gabriel when I was praying for him when I first won the Lord before he was even baptized. I was picturing him preaching, soul winning, and I had that plan to confirm him, okay? Well, I'll tell you right now, and I'm being totally honest with you. When I go out soul winning, when I win somebody to Christ, I look at that person and I picture them. You know, let's say they got, you know, long hair down their back. I picture that short haircut. I'm serious. You know, the Bible says that men are supposed to have short hair. Sorry to shock you with that. You know, here's a shock. Women are supposed to have long hair, men are supposed to have short hair. It's in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, I picture him. I mean, I'll see a guy, maybe he's got tattoos and piercings or whatever, and he gets saved. I picture him out soul winning. I'm not kidding. I mean, in my imagination, I look at him, I picture him with a Bible in his hand, preaching the gospel, giving the gospel to somebody. I mean, I hear his voice talking to me. And in my imagination, in my mind, I can hear that same voice going through the Romans Road and giving somebody the plan of salvation. I'm being totally honest with you right now. I mean, I'll win some lady to the Lord, and I'll get her saved, and I'm listening to her voice, you know, saying thank you for stopping by, and thanks, you know, whether she's going to come to church or whatever, and I can hear her voice in my mind giving the gospel to somebody else. I can hear her being a soul winner. Maybe she's dressed in a sleazy way. I'm picturing her wearing that modest dress and looking like a lady and being clean and decent. That's what I picture. That's what I believe. Huh? That's a vision. Have a vision for people that you win to the Lord. Have a vision for people that you meet that are Christians. Hey, if they're saved, if they have the Holy Spirit living inside of them, there's no telling what they can become. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. And if they're saved, if they have the Holy Spirit in them, they can do all things through Christ, which strengthened them. And so when you see that person who's the carnal, worldly Christian, the backslidden Christian, or the person that you just wanted the Lord 5 minutes ago, you got to look at them, you got to have a vision to make them a soul winner. To bring them to church and let the Holy Spirit speak to them through the preaching to make them what they need to be. Have a vision for people. Love people. Look at people and don't just see them as just another number. Another person that you want to look. Paul and Barnabas, you know, yeah, we got all these people saved. Paul said, you know, those are real people. Why don't we go back and try and teach them some more and strengthen them? Why don't we confirm them? Why don't we build them up and teach them to continue and be like us? But see, you're going to have a hard time teaching people to be like you if you're not worth being like. Now, nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. I have all kinds of faults and flaws and weaknesses. I'm just a human being. I'm just a man. You have your human faults and flaws. But you know what? I'm a soul winner. I win souls. I get people saved. I teach. You know, I could tell you about all kinds of people that I've won to the Lord. I could tell you about all kinds of people that have been baptized and that are living for God. Okay? Now, I have faults and flaws. So do you. God's not looking for perfect people. Because He's not going to find any. God's looking for people like me and like you who are soul winners. And He wants us to say to others, follow me as I follow Christ. Let me confirm you. Let me be a leader to you. Let me help you. Let me teach you something. So this week, yes, win souls. Yes, open your mouth and preach the gospel this week. But you know what? Why don't you think about doing something else also, like confirming somebody that you know. Confirming somebody that you know who's saved and confirming somebody that you win to the Lord. Why don't you make that a part of your life, confirmation? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the people in my life that have helped to confirm me. I can think about so many people in my life that I'm very thankful for, that taught me so much out of the Bible. I think of a previous pastor that I had who taught me much about the Bible. I think of my own dad and my own mom who taught me much Bible, much confirmation that came from them. God, I thank you for other friends that I've had, just people that I've been soul winning with, that I've learned from, and friends that have sharpened me and strengthened me and confirmed me. Dear God, I thank you so much that people have confirmed me throughout my life. And God, you're the one who's really done the confirming in the largest part of my life, dear God. And Father, I pray that you would help us now as a church, Faithful Word Baptist Church, to be in the confirming business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And this business not only involves soul winning, but involves confirmation. Father, bless us now as we go our separate ways for the week. Help us to do what you'd have us do. Help us to grow and let you confirm us. And then help us to confirm others. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and sing one more song as we go. Let's just sing one.